This is the Jake Asmon Show on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Jake Asmon.
Welcome back into the Jake Asmon Show right here on SB Nation Radio. Let's head out to the guest hotline right now and bring on somebody that was a Pro Bowl linebacker in the National Football League, played with the Jets, played with the Baltimore Ravens, was a teammate of Darrelle Revis, which we will certainly talk about, and of course, one of the great guys in media right now, that's Bart Scott. Bart, Jake Asmon here in Houston. Thanks for a few minutes, my friend. How are you?
What's up, rookie? What's going on, man? Is this the hot line or is this the fire line? Sugar line?
It took a little bit, but Bart, it's good to get you on. Obviously, I had a chance to work with you the last few months at FAN, so I'm glad you could make some time. Let's talk about your media career real quick. Are you enjoying hosting a daily talk show on WFAN in New York City?
Well, I mean, it provides so many luxuries in my life, man. It gives me an opportunity to get out the house. You know, I don't get on my wife's nerves as much. It's doing tremendous things for my family life.
That's good to hear. And obviously, you get a chance to work with Chris Carlin and Maggie Gray, two veteran broadcasters. So you were a rook. What advice could you give to me about hosting a talk show nationally?
I tell you what, man, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So what I would say is be yourself, be authentic. And some people are going to like you, some people are going to hate you. But as long as they listen, you shouldn't care.
I agree with that. We're talking with Bart Scott, former Jet, former Raven. You can hear him each and every day on WFAN from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern time. And Bart, getting into the latest controversy with the NFL, it's something that really has not gone away for almost three seasons, and that is the national anthem debate. The latest, of course, the league and the Players Association putting the new rules on hold. They'll get together and try and come up with some sort of solution. Can you even fathom that we're at a point where we're about to enter the third season where there is some sort of controversy with the national anthem?
Well, you got to understand, this was something that was, this was a message that was hijacked by the president, put a lot of pressure on people, and, you know, had bad optics. You know, really, the NBA did it the right way. They made it a rule, and players have to abide by the rule. The fact is, they the NFL wants to be on both sides of the fence. They want to play towards both bases. They don't want to offend anybody. So then, you know, they're stuck in the middle, and that's the worst place to be. They're stuck in the middle, and now they're trying to say, okay, you can stay in the locker room, or you, if you come out, you have to stand. But if you're going to say that you're going to stay in the locker room, you're also going to isolate that player, and that's just as bad, or it's going to be just as perceived as bad as taking a knee, because they're going to know you're not out there. And what's going to happen is the message is going to get conflicted, hijacked again, because, you know, though you think about those players that stay in, what if you're staying in because you're getting an IV? What if you're staying in because you're getting treatment? Then you have to answer these type of questions. So, like, you know, they just went about it the wrong way. You know, I think we're past the kneeling part of it. It's still something that could be done to continue to push the conversation forward. But I think the players have moved past that until, once again, you know, the president tried to make it part of his agenda and wanted to try and bring light to it and create a divide again, because I believe most players, this thing, last year, until the president made a statement and called them SOBs, most players, only like 12 players even kneeling. But then you force, you know, a person that's a man or athlete that's a father, that's a leader in their community, to have to stand up. And you saw the owners do it for one day and then go back to saying, okay, well, we're all going to stand now, or we're not going to interlock arms anymore. And I just feel like if they just make a rule and allow the players and give them some input, we can move past this. But the thing is, you can't make a rule and we're supposed to collectively bargain everything that we're doing with our game, because it's not just the owner's game. You don't have a game without owners. You don't have a game without players.
Spending a few minutes over the phone with Bart Scott right here on the Jake Asmon Show and SB Nation Radio. And Bart, I'm going to ask you an interesting question here. Let's pretend you're Roger Goodell and you're given the situation where you have to come up with a solution to this national anthem issue. What is it you were going to try and implement?
Listen, we all know it's about money, right? And the same thing is, they don't want sponsors to pull out. They don't want people to cause divide, whether the message is distorted or not. So if I'm Roger Goodell, I'm going to go with the NFLPA, D'Amore Smith, and we're going to sit down and we're going to come up with a joint collective decision and say that we came up with this process. This is our decision. We didn't do this because our hands was forced, because, you know, sponsors were dropping out, viewership. People can say whatever they want about the viewership. People are going to watch football. You can say whatever you want. And the ratings are fluid. They're up and down for various reasons. you know, because just as many people that said they weren't watching because they're taking knees, it was people that wasn't watching in protest of on the opposite side. So you can't offend any of those people. So get with this Morris Smith, come up with the best plan, say, listen, we need to just, you know, do what Adam Silver's done. He had no problems because he's always proactive, not reactive. And that's the problem with Roger Goodell. He's reactive and not proactive. He doesn't get ahead of things. He waits till it happens, then he reacts to them. Where Adam Silver, they discussed it before the season started. All the players say, you know what, we have our different ways of protesting and bringing, you know, light to the social injustices that we want to talk about, and they give us this platform, so we're not going to do that, and look where they are.
Bart Scott with us right here on SB Nation Radio. And Bart, the point you made about Goodell and, you know, referencing Adam Silver with the NBA, I think is spot on. You know, you look at a guy like Adam Silver, it seems like he has the respect of his players, and when the NBA tries to get something accomplished, it's collaborative and they get it done. How much is Goodell to blame for all this? And if Adam Silver, let's say, was the commissioner of the NFL, you know, I tend to believe that we would not be in this situation almost 3 years later.
See, one of the problems with Roger Goodell is he's not a great public speaker, and sometimes he can't articulate what he's trying to say. Where you think about all the other commissioners in pro sports, they're former lawyers. So they know how to speak and get their message across. They can talk for days without even answering your question. You forget what the hell you're even asking. See, so, you know, Roger Goodell, we had the same vocal coach. And, you know, he was working on trying to learn how to communicate, how to breathe, how to communicate and talk and get his message across. But, you know, it's just not a skill set that's a strength of his. Now, can he talk? Yeah, but it's a different level of communicator between lawyers and people that just talk. And I feel like he needs more... He needs to give away some more of his power and allow these decisions to be collective. Because when you're prosecutor, judge, and jury, when you want to have all that control, then when things go wrong, like the Ray Rice case, then you're the one that's to blame singly. And I understand that, you know, Roger Goodell is really there to take the sling and arrows from the owners, and he's doing a bad job in getting in front and getting some type of solution to this. Here we are. How are we going to talk about, you know, putting a rule on pause that we haven't even had one game yet? Like, so we reevaluating. So that means the rule wasn't well thought out to begin with. So I feel like they should, you know, go back to the drawing table, get some of the players in there, so that way the players can go back and sell it to the other players. This is why we're doing it. Okay, they're going to give us $80 million. We're going to do this and not let the inflammatory remarks from the president affect either player or owner. You know, you see the message is mixed up in Miami, too. We don't know what the hell he's doing. Like, he says, okay, you know, if some players will be punished, now they're not going to be punished. Like, make up your mind, bro.
Talking about Bart Scott, of course, former Jet, former Baltimore Raven Pro Bowl linebacker, now a host on WFAN in New York City. Bart, I want to ask you about Darrell Revis. Obviously, you were part of two of the best seasons the Jets ever had, going to back-to-back championship games in 2009 and 2010. And I'm a diehard Jet fan, so I loved you. I loved Darrell. I loved those teams. When you look back on that era of Jets football, how much was Revis being one of the best players you could make the case to ever play that position? How did that impact you guys defensively during those great years?
I mean, I think he's invited to the table for the best players to ever play that position. I mean, you know, you leave it up to anybody else to talk about the era. You know, you talk about Mel Blount, you talk about Asante Samuel, you talk about Deion Sanders, you talk about, you know, Charles Woodson, Rod Woodson. You know, what people always talk about when they say, well, you know, he didn't dominate for the extended period of time that those guys played. I would take Darrell's 7 years of domination and put it up against, you know, Charles Woodson and Rod Woodson. But you forget that Charles Woodson and Rod Woodson's career was extended because they made the switch to safety. So they were able to be Pro Bowl caliber safeties and rovers and things of that sort, where Darrell just decided to say, you know what, instead of playing safety, I'm going to pack up my ball and I'm going to leave. But when you think about, and I said this the other day when I was talking to Pat Curran, you know, when you think about all the great receivers of this era, and you can talk to any of them. You can talk to Calvin Johnson. You can talk to T.O., who's going to be inducted. You can talk to Reggie Wayne. You can talk to, you know, A.J. Green. You can talk to Antonio Brown. You can talk to all these guys, Larry Fitzgerald. You can talk to all of them. And Calvin Johnson as well. Now, I want you to check their stats when they went against Darrell Revis, because he went against all of them. And he shut them down. It wasn't just like, okay, well, they went for 50 yards. They have only five catches. No, they might have one catch for 10 yards or three catches for 15 yards. And when I say when you want to see who's an elite corner, you have to really understand what you're looking at. You know, most people always say, well, why does Richard Sherman don't get the credit that Patrick Peterson gets? Because, you know, where things may look the same, they're not always the same. When you think of cover one and cover three, which is cover three is really a zone coverage that becomes a man coverage when it goes down the field. So people understand that, you know, Richard Sherman and players of his caliber or that play the same type of systems that dominate in that system, they are playing leverage. They have help either, you know, inside, outside. You know, their job is to stay over the top. Cam Chancellor was a guy, if it went to the outside, he would jump it. Where you think about Darrelle Revis, no safety over the top. A receiver can go inside, outside. They had all the options to try and get open, and he dominated them. Now, I didn't really cover one, cover zero. Cover zero means you have zero help. And it wasn't like we were disguising it. The safety was leaning over to the other side, and you can see that's why he got the name Revis Island, because when you looked on the film, depending on where you were looking, you wouldn't see anybody but him and the receiver. That's the difference between being a lockdown, man-to-man, cover corner. And when you talk about the guys that are put in that same light, you start with Deion Sanders, then you may go, you know, you go to Patrick Peterson, you go to guys that play with blitzing teams that you don't have any help inside or outside. That's why he's elite. That's why it's not even a question, is he a first ballot Hall of Fame? The only thing that might tie Darrelle Revis up is you don't know who's going to be up when he's there, who's been waiting in line for their chance. But he should be a first ballot Hall of Famer. But if he's not, he's definitely going to be in his second year.
Talking with Bart Scott, of course, played with Darrelle Revis, former New York Jet and Baltimore Raven. And Bart, when you look at guys that you played with in your career, Darrelle Revis, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, what makes those great players, those Hall of Fame players special? What makes them different from an average player or a really good player? What separates the best of the best?
Well, you know, it's the whole thing, the book, Good to Great. You know, we talk about going from good to great. It's the little things. You know, greatness isn't, you know, the big things that you do. Greatness is defined by doing the little things on a consistent basis. Anybody can hit a home run or anybody can make a great tackle, get a sack, but can you do the little things? Can you do the things where people just expect you to do the little things? Can you make sure you're playing for proper leverage? Can you make sure that you reach with the right hand? And when you talk about those guys, Ed Reed, you know, Ray Lewis, and you have to add Darrelle Revis to that, not only did they do it in game day, but it was something that they did every day of their life. You know, and it, you know, it was their habits. It was their habits. And you think about, you know, I think about practice when, you know, we're going against each other, we're servicing each other, and he's not letting anybody catch the ball. Regardless, you know, and it's a drill that we're pretty much walking through, and he's smacking the ball down. Like, no, nobody's going to catch the ball in front of me. And that's the commitment to be great. You got to dare to be great, because when you dare to be great, people and your teammates are going to watch and make sure that everything you do is towards that goal. When you decide to be the best, you decide to be a Hall of Famer, you know, it's a lonely road, because everybody's not willing to sacrifice and pay the price. Everybody, you know, guys are looking for times to take the days off. So when I think about those great Hall of Fame players, and Ray will be inducted this year, it's because what he did on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and you guys saw the result on Sunday. But they put the work in every day, every year, going into the meeting, still taking notes like they don't know the stuff.
He's Bart Scott. You can listen to him each and every day on WFAN Radio in New York City from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Former Jet, former Raven, Pro Bowl linebacker, and one of the first guests here on the Jake Asman Show on SB Nation Radio. Bart, I really appreciate it. Hope you had a great vacation last week, and I look forward to listening to your show once again moving forward.
Hey, bro. Much success. Good luck with everything. And, you know, I just wish I could have been the first, but it's okay.
Appreciate it, Bart. That's Bart Scott right here on SB Nation Radio. We'll be right back.